Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
G'day mates, it's Bee Buster here. And before the episode begins, I would just like to let you know that Be Scared, which is produced along with Studio 71, features scary stories from around the globe on a weekly basis that aim to fuel your nightmares with a smile. And if you enjoy the podcast, it would be great if you could hit that subscribe button and drop a review. But thanks for listening, guys. And without further ado, let's begin. About 2 years ago, I was 13, almost 14 at the time, and I was still quite immature for my age, and enjoyed role-playing as Mortal Kombat characters, or fighting with my little brother, who is now almost 13. By the way, I live in Whitefish, Montana, near a place called Olney, surrounded by woods pretty much. I also have horses basically everywhere on our property. That's important for later to know. Anyways, me and my little brother decided to go outside to the back of my house where there's a road that is about 400 feet in length, leading up to, I would say, about a maybe 8 round hay bale sort of section, to pretend to fight each other with wooden swords that we had custom detailed and made ourselves. I was cosplaying as Sub-Zero, and my brother was just wearing regular clothes, and we started walking away from our house towards the hay bales because we intended to fight on them. Now, once we had gotten about halfway there, which took like a minute, we were almost at the end of our horse pen that was fenced in next to our house, reaching out halfway to the bales. I remember my brother leaning down to tie one of his shoes that had a messed up lace on the right one, and, getting straight to the point, what we both saw still makes me very nervous and sweat when I think about it. I looked over at him and immediately heard a loud sort of trampling or sprinting sound coming from the hay bale area. I looked up and at them and I saw what I thought to be something resembling a human but was extremely tall. The hay bales were stacked two up and I think four across. And whatever this was, it was greyish white and ran behind the bales in what I assume a pretty much straight line, then going past them and disappearing into the woods that went from behind the hay all the way around my house, besides the main gravel road that then brings you to the highway. I immediately freaked out and tried to yell to my brother right beside me, but only managed to basically talk super fast to him with an inside voice. He as well looked up very quickly because he had heard the running too. There was a sort of small pause where my brother sounded confused, and then, right as he did it, it came back running to the hay bales once again, stopping this time behind the third row of two stacked on one another. This thing, though, was so tall that we could see almost the entirety of the thing's head, and then it ran kind of forward a little bit, and then straight backwards towards the woods, never to be seen after that. Now, this all happened in the span of maybe about 5 or 8 seconds, and saying that whatever this thing was running is really a complete understatement. You see, it had been running at least 40 miles an hour, at least, or fast enough where we could both barely make out what it looked like in detail, just the overall appearance. What I remember, though, is that it looked to me as kind of like the rake, but way taller and more slender looking and really grey. I remember my brother yelling, "What the heck was that?" And literally, so did I, as we full-on bolted back to the house in probably 15 seconds. I got there first, yanked my brother in the door, and slammed it harder than any other door I've slammed in my life, locking it behind us quickly. Of course, my parents didn't believe us at all, even though I was on the verge of either tears or a heart attack from the adrenaline. They said that it was probably a moose in the end, but I've seen moose at that time and since then, and this, I can assure you, was no moose. Hopefully I'll get a better answer here than from them, but if not, that's okay, I guess, and to be honest, I really just do hope people believe me. It feels like a dream thinking back on it, just as it did the day after the incident. It's kind of weird, too, that I remembered this again suddenly today while watching a military crawler horror story on YouTube. Probably because my mind is trying to block out as a false memory or a dream, whatever that event was, even though I actually have a second eyewitness in my brother. And quite honestly, if my brother wasn't there with me, I seriously would doubt myself. I would doubt that I would ever believe what I actually saw. But because he saw it too, and we both freaked out at what it was, I have no doubt in my mind that I'm not crazy, and we saw something. Years ago, when I was pregnant, we were just getting ready to go to bed and it was late, about 1:30 in the morning, when this woman knocked on the door and my husband answered. She was clearly high and jittery and looking around everywhere. She asked if she could use my toilet. My husband obviously said no, this was not a public restroom. We both got a really bad vibe from her though. She was quite a big woman and clearly something just wasn't right with her. She started to try to open our security door at that point, rattling the handle, but we've always been very conscious of keeping it locked the minute that we walk in. My husband told her to go away and he shut the door. Then she started banging on the door, screaming that she needed to use the toilet. My husband opened the door again and told her to get lost or he was calling the cops. She stopped, froze, and for about 20 seconds just sort of stood there, staring at us, and then she turned around and walked away. We turned off all the lights and we looked through the blinds and saw her next door talking to two people at that point. I said to my husband that I think that was a setup for a home invasion, and he agreed. The thing though is that I'd actually seen this woman around before quite a few times, so she could have known that I was heavily pregnant, and that would make us a good target, because we would have been compliant. People have a tendency to be more compliant when they're trying to protect their family, and I think that she must have followed me home. Thankfully, after that, I never saw her again, but even that is kind of weird, right? We were on a road trip to Queensland and back. We were in no hurry, so we were taking the scenic route. And at one stage, we pulled up to a truck stop on a highway that ran alongside the forest. It was a very isolated place. So we were sitting there trying to get my son some snacks and just having a break, when a ute pulled up behind us. The guy inside sat there for ages, just sort of staring at us, and I said to my husband, "This guy's creeping me out. Let's go." So we started to pack up, and that's when he got out of his ute. He was walking towards us as we got in our car, and before we knew it, he was there, and he asked for a cigarette. My husband said that he only smokes rollies and he didn't have any rolled, and the guy said, "I'll wait." He never said more than that in the entire encounter. He leaned in and he stared at me with the creepiest predatory look that I've ever seen, and this really weird grin, the whole time keeping one hand behind him as well. Suddenly, he leant right into the car, and at that moment, my two-year-old said hi, and it was then that this guy just backed away like his butt was on fire. Didn't wait for his cigarette, he just bolted back to his ute and we took off. We always thought that he had bad intentions and just didn't realize that we had a kid in the car, and when he did, that maybe threw him off. We both agree that it was the creepiest encounter of our lives, and we were pretty sure of his intentions. The really creepy thing, though, is that it wasn't until we were driving away that we realized that we were in the Belanglo State Forest, where serial killer Ivan Milat had buried all of his victims. It was always a theory that he didn't actually do the work alone, and that actually one of his brothers was involved, but who knows? Anyway, that might not be related to this story at all, but it always just crossed my mind.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
When I was about 7 or 8, my family moved into an old farmhouse in VA. I have a little brother. My brother is 3 years younger than me, so he was around 4 or 5 at the time. This house had an upstairs which had 2 rooms. My brother and I were very excited about this because we always had to share a room. He picked the room to the left of the stairs. It was nice, but in the corner of his room it had a tiny door that led into a sort of small attic. It gave me an eerie feeling, so I couldn't understand why he would pick that room, but he was just determined on that being his room. I, though, took the room to the right, which had a little window that looked out over the farm. It was great. We set our rooms up and we unpacked. Fast forward to a few weeks later, my mum decided that it was time for us to take a nap. In my room, of course. For context, I had a little red rocking chair with Dalmatians with my name painted on it. It was really cute. I had definitely outgrown it at this point, though, because it was made for me when I was a toddler. And well, when we went to lay down for our nap, everything was okay. But then, out of nowhere, my brother started freaking out and screaming, clinging to my mother for dear life. My mother tried to soothe him, but nothing was helping. She asked my brother what was wrong. My brother pointed to the rocking chair and said, "There's a little girl in Sissy's chair, and she doesn't want us up here." He was so unconsolable that my mum had to bring us downstairs. That is the first time the entity made herself known. I never saw her, but I'd always feel her presence or have nightmares about her. The weird thing is that I'd only see her in my dreams if I was in my room sleeping. So as you can imagine, that quickly turned into my brother and I sleeping in my mum's bed. Most of the time she would target my brother, but he'd never stay in his room. And one night, my mum talks to me and my brother into sleeping in my bed upstairs just to have a break. We only agreed to do it if we could leave the light room on. She agreed. Well, we all fall asleep and I wake up in my room. I'm alone. Everything is the same, but like I said, I'm alone and something is telling me to get up and go to the window. I don't know why, but I do. As soon as I get to the window, though, I see a little girl run to the side of the house and start crawling up the side to my window. Remember, I'm on the second floor. I'm sort of startled awake before she can reach me, and I sit up in bed and realize that I'm reliving my dream. I'm panicking, staring at the window, and again something is telling me to go over to it. But instead, I just dart down the stairs to my mum's room and find my brother laying on the floor near the end of my mum's bed. We didn't say much to each other besides agreeing, and we felt safe in near mum. I learned years later that my brother had the same dream that night, apparently. Fast forward a couple of years later, we moved to a new home. We had to share rooms again, but we were fine with that. We were scared from all the years of dealing with this entity. We thought that we would finally have some peace, but we were very wrong. Shortly after moving, the same stuff started happening again. This time, I actually saw her. It was dark out, and my mum needed something from her car. I tell her that I'll go and get it, and as soon as I retrieved what she needed from the car, I turn around toward the house to go back in, but I look over into the field next to our house, and I see her appear and disappear, and every time she reappeared, she was a little bit closer. I never ran so fast in my life. I ran into the house absolutely hysterical. I told my mum and stepdad, and they were obviously concerned. Mum didn't believe that she had followed us to the new house, but now she did. We made the conclusion that she attached herself to my rocking chair, so we moved again, and when we did, we left my rocking chair at that house, and since then we haven't seen her, and I haven't dreamed about her. Growing up after this, I always wondered if she was just an evil entity or maybe a demon in disguise. I don't know, but something told me that there was something wrong with her. I do some volunteering at a hospital 3 times a week that involves me reporting to the hospital at 5 a.m. I enjoy the volunteering. I've been doing it for almost 2 years now, and I've really never had any issues. Until last week. Last week, I was a bit early on one of my volunteering days, and I had about 30 minutes before I had to report in. I normally would have just waited in my car, but I had been pretty stressed about things in my personal life, so I thought that I'd go for a little walk to burn a little steam and clear my head. After all, this isn't a pretty nice area, upscale West Los Angeles, so what could go wrong? It's like 4:30 in the morning, so naturally the streets are all quiet, but it seems pretty peaceful. But then, up ahead, I see somebody walking in my direction. Kind of odd, I guess, but I didn't think too much of it. Him being out here at this hour isn't inherently suspicious, I guess. After all, does being out here at this hour automatically make me suspicious too? So I keep walking. We make quick eye contact when we cross paths, and I suddenly got a very bad feeling about this man. I can't explain it other than an instant instinct, but sometimes you just have a gut feeling about somebody, you know? That's what I felt when I passed this man, and I immediately went on high alert and made sure that he wasn't going to approach me from behind or something. Very soon after walking by this man, I'm talking like 15 to 20 seconds, I pass by one of those many parked cars on the street. This is Los Angeles, so there's a lot of parked cars on the sides of the main streets. Except this parked car is different. There's a man sitting at the wheel, and the man waves at me and beckons me over. Again, pretty darn creepy, but not inherently worth freaking out over just yet. As I keep walking, I then realize that while the car was parked, it wasn't off. It was simply in park. Because this car starts driving in the same direction that I'm walking, and it drives at a pace essentially matching my walking speed, at this point, I've had enough, and my brain is saying nope. So I immediately turn around and start speed walking back in the direction that I came from. Then I saw something in that moment that absolutely terrified me. That first man that I encountered walking the other direction, which was probably like 40 seconds ago, was now standing pretty close to me, like way, way closer than somebody who had been walking in the other direction should be. And then he makes eye contact with me, and he starts walking in my direction. I'm incredibly suspicious and more than a bit nervous at this point. So because it's pretty dark out, I decide to play a hunch. My car keys fold out in a manner very similar to a switchblade, so I immediately pull it out, press the button to make the key fold out, and I stare at him for a second. I believe that he was caught off guard because he stopped walking for a second. And well, that second was all I needed. I immediately took off running at top speed, crossed the street. We're talking a Los Angeles main street with like 6 lanes of traffic and a median divider, and kept running down the street. Now, I'm no Olympian, but I was on the cross-country team at a D2 college, and I still run multiple times a week, so I'm pretty confident that I can outrun the average person I run into by a comfortable margin. Still, I didn't take any chances, and I ran all the way back to the hospital. So, what do you guys think? I'm not crazy, right? I'm not necessarily saying that I was going to be the next prominent murder victim or kidnapping victim, but there was definitely something going on here, right? So for the last 2 months, there's been some instances where I've woken up at around 3 or 4 in the morning to use the restroom and have noticed my daughter's door open after we definitely closed it when laying her down. We live in a smallish 2-bedroom apartment. Our daughter's room is directly across from ours, and we typically sleep with our bedroom door open so we can hear her in the night if she needs us. We usually lay her down at around 8:30 p.m. and my wife and I are usually in bed at around 10. Our daughter has a Nest White noise machine that we leave on in her room to help her sleep. When her door is shut, you can barely hear it. When I get up in the middle of the night, though, I immediately know that her door is open, just off of the sound alone. And then I look across and her door is not just open a crack, but completely wide open. I just have this eerie feeling. My wife and I don't sleepwalk, and when I'm up in the middle of the night, I'm pretty aware of my surroundings. Also, to add to this, our daughter sleeps in a crib and is way too small to crawl out of it, and usually when I notice her door is open, I always go and check on her and she's always knocked out. There's just no reason why this door should be open, and I don't know, something is telling me that something is wrong. Anyway, I apologize if this sounds a bit rambling, it's just giving me weird vibes, and I was looking to see if anyone had any ideas of what might be going on. This happened about 2 years ago. Me, my fiancé, and my best friend decided to go to this popular hiking trail near us. The trail leads to a giant rock that hangs off of a cliff. It's a beautiful look over the city that I live in, and it's a far walk through the woods. You're on the same trail going straight for most of the hike. The trail eventually makes a sharp turn, gets thinner, and gets very steep. You really have to hike up this part, though, and then you reach an open field. You can see the rock above you, and you have to climb up one more path that leads you to the rock. Now, even though the hike is long, the path is very easy and it's hard to mess up, considering that this is the only path in that area of the woods, that I've found at least. I've done it multiple times at this point, even hiked down well after midnight, after watching fireworks on the 4th of July. But anyway, the three of us decided, since we were walking close to the road that leads you to the trail, that we were going to go and visit. It was about 7 p.m, so it started to get dark pretty quickly. We didn't even make it off the first part of the trail that I already mentioned. It goes straight for about an hour until you get to the sharp turn. We didn't even make it to that, and we decided that since it was getting dark, that we should probably turn around. We all had our flashlights on, and everything was normal. We never set foot on the path. The path is pretty much dark engulfed by the trees, but there is this one spot where the trees open up. You can see the entire downtown area of my city, and it feels very high up because this trail is basically in the middle of the hillside surrounding the whole town. If you've ever been to Pennsylvania, then you'll get it. Anyway, we got to the spot where the clearing is, where you can see downtown, but it sort of looked flip-flopped. I don't even really know how to explain it, but it looked like the town was sort of flipped, like how you can flip an image on your phone almost. Like someone took the town and flipped it the other way, if you get it. It was late and dark, and we were tired of walking, so I just don't think that we really took it seriously when we walked past it. I still felt the weird feeling, though, and I felt like everything was sort of backwards all of a sudden. That's really the only way that I can describe it, as backwards. And we all said the same thing to each other. It was my fiancé who said something first, which is just weird because usually he'd be the last to say anything in a situation like this. All he said, though, was that he feels backwards. My best friend freaked out because she gets anxiety like that, and she felt the same way, too. I mentioned the clearing looked weird at this point, and they all agreed with me. They thought the same thing, but they thought that they were being silly. At this point, though, we should be close to the exit, but honestly, it felt like we were sort of going in circles. The path started breaking like the path wasn't even the same that we'd been walking on, so we turned back around towards the rock to try to figure out where we were. We came back to the clearing, and it still looked weird, so we took pictures, and I do have them still if anyone cares to see them, but you wouldn't be able to make out that it looks flip-flopped unless you live in the same town. We knew that we were at the clearing, though, because, well, it's really the only part where the woods clear like this, and we knew that we were on the right path, as we've never got off of it. We decided to turn back around towards the exit, but it just didn't bring us to the exit. It also didn't bring us to the path that looked wrong and started to break. It was a whole new part of the woods, in fact, that we'd never even seen before. At some point as well, we sort of stumbled across a door on the ground. It looked like a door to a mine, maybe, or something. We tried to take a look at it, but there was no evidence of a mine being there. There are multiple mines in my city, though, so I wouldn't be surprised if this was just an old one and wasn't on record or something. But beside the door was about 5 or 6 white chairs with what seemed to be white sheets laying on the ground around them, like a little piece of white cloth. Not very big, just pieces. There were also beer bottles. The chair was in a circle formation, but there was no fire pit in the middle or anything, just this circle of chairs. Looking back, it could have been a little campsite someone had made, but man, was it scary at night when you're lost to find something like this. It genuinely freaked us out, and every time we walked away, it just seemed that we just made our way back to the chairs and the door again. Obviously, we started to try to call and text people that we know for help, even called my parents, but nobody answered. It was late, so I guess that sort of made sense, but we were so lost and getting really scared, and we were going to have to sleep up here at this point, we thought. And eventually, after walking what seemed to be in circles forever, we just sort of walked out. Like, so fast the exit was right there, we just walked on the path for a minute and we were out, just like that. Almost immediately after we leave, I then get texts back from people that I was trying to get help from. And one more creepy thing, just to put the icing on the cake as well, is that there were like 1,032 pictures taken on my fiancé's phone at 10:32 p.m. Like a burst of them. If you have an iPhone, they have these things called bursts where you can take a lot of pictures quickly. It was just so weird. The pics were all just white and it just made no sense. It's also weird how his phone took pictures while he had his flashlight on at the same time. The pics were taken during the time that we were lost, and we didn't go back for about a year until me and my fiancé decided to go back and try and find the path that we made it onto at some point, just for peace of mind in the end. But no matter how hard we searched, and I mean we searched pretty thoroughly to find this thing, we couldn't find the door, we couldn't find anything weird, no extra paths, no flip-flop of the city. except a giant meat grinder at one point. I don't know what that was about, but man, I hate the woods so much. It freaks me out thinking about any woods or forests of any time. That's just one of the worst experiences for me, though, but I've had a few others, and honestly, I just hope people don't think that I'm making this all up. I know that it sounds crazy, to me even, so I can imagine someone thinking that I'm lying, but I'm really just looking for a possible explanation for any of this. It's one of those things that just sits with me and bothers me to this day, and my fiancé doesn't like talking about it either because there's just really no explanation. Me and my best friend, we still talk about it from time to time, but it just goes nowhere because we've thought of every possible explanation that we can think of. So, any similar experiences or theories would honestly be great. When I was 18 and freshly broken up with my older boyfriend, I basically went crazy with dating guys. At the time, I also dressed very goth, even going as far as to wear a real corset and trench coat, mostly just enjoying the attention. One particular afternoon, though, my friend or roommate at the time decided to eat at a local Japanese restaurant, with both of us all dressed up. Our waiter was a mediocre skinny white guy who clearly was a little alternative, but it was hard to tell really with the uniform. We joked about me leaving my phone number on the receipt or something, so I hyped myself up and I did it. Late that night, he had sent me a text at some point. We talked for a few days, never really having a right time to meet up as I worked 40 minutes away from where I lived. He mentioned the boots that he wore meant a lot to him and some other odd things that just seemed like edgy jokes, I guess. One really late night, though, coming home, I was texting and driving, as any 18-year-old does, and we decided to meet up. I was stupid enough to invite him over to my apartment, where it was just me and the roommate who had been with me before. Our other two roommates were not at home at this point. At first, it was fine, too, because I was already drunk, so I would just let him rant about whatever he wanted. He went on about his life, going to jail, medical bills, his parents, etc. Eventually, though, he asked me if I wanted to see his tattoos, and I was like, sure. He lifted up his shirt, and not only could I see the handgun tucked in his waistband, but also his multiple badly covered up racist tattoos. One was even slightly covered up with a banana. I don't know what it was, but I simply decided the best way to deal with this situation was just to appease him, so I went along with it casually. I don't remember exactly every detail because it was over 2 years ago and I was drunk, but he ended up pulling his gun out and putting it to my head, asking me if I was scared. I was immensely confused and I tried to call his bluff saying that I wasn't, which got him to put it away for a while. When we went to hook up in my messy room, he pulled it out on me again, saying that he wanted to do it with it out. I got mad and tried to fight him off and get it away from my head. Of course, I wasn't as strong as him, and he hit me in the arm with it. And I mean, if you've ever been pistol whipped with a gun, then you'll know exactly how much that hurts. When I finally got him off of me and he realized that I was angry, not scared, he started acting like a crackhead, saying that I was crazy for not caring about him pulling a gun on me. He ran off, jumping the fence of the apartment complex, and not even taking his car that he had come in. In the morning, his car was gone, and I had a large bruise from where he had hit me. And while to me it was a funny story for quite some time, I now realize just how bad it could have all ended.
G'day mates, it's B-Buster here. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Be Scared podcast. And please, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode too. Also, it would be much appreciated if you could share this new podcast with your friends and family and on social media too. Thanks again for listening, guys, and I'll see you mates in the next one.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.